We know from what we read and maybe from even some personal experiences, we know that for some, the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and the whole season, can be kind of a downer. It can be kind of a disappointment because they expect too much and it doesn't deliver. You know, it doesn't happen. They've been thinking about this and that and the other thing, and suddenly, you know, it's coming and it's here and it's gone, and there were disappointments along the way. I wonder this morning as we, this week now, we'll head into December, are you expecting too much? Or possibly are we expecting too little? Well, we're going to think about expectations as we spend time with these folks these next few weeks. Today we meet an old man and his old wife, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. And once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. And he will be a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." And meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And so we're going to think about Zechariah and Elizabeth and about their expectations and about yours and ours too. Sometimes we expect just kind of more of the same. Nothing different or really new. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. They were old. They were good. Their heritage and their religious involvement is well documented. And more importantly than that, they were right. They were righteous in the sight of God. But they had no children. And it was the great disappointment of their lives. I recently listened to a three-part series by one of my favorite
preachers in the country, Andy Stanley. And he was dealing with things that we wonder about and sometimes we wrestle with. And Pastor Stanley was asking, he was speaking about when, he titled this series, When God Questioned Mark. When God is inattentive. When God is uncooperative. And when God is late. What are we to think? What are we to do? And where is God? And what is He doing or not doing in the midst of it? Sometimes, even as those who basically really trust God, we know that He is, we know His Word and His promises, sometimes we grow weary of asking and we really don't expect much. At least in terms of what has been a longing of our hearts for so long and a heaviness that we've lived with for too long, and we don't really expect anything to change anymore. What is it like to just look forward to more of the same old, same old? We may still, you know, from time to time, we may expect a little religious bump or a pump. We may expect some kind of revival or renewal. In the frigid wintry season, the story of Christmas and the experience of worship might at least warm us a bit a while. It's nice. You know, it's nice and it's right. And who knows, maybe going to church, maybe even singing in the choir or going out caroling, it might put a smile on my face, you know. And even some people who don't regularly do the church thing, they might almost expect that going on Christmas and maybe at Easter, it might just spark some kind of a something in their spirit or in their gut. So maybe like old Zechariah, maybe we are glad at the prospect of a special time for worship. Maybe even some kind of a special involvement. Maybe some kind of leadership even. But basically, after the temporary emotional bump, you know, I can remember in years past we talked about going away for a retreat or something and having a mountaintop experience. Maybe after that kind of thing, we really understand that life will resume again. And for us these days, January, you know, with holiday bills to be paid as we once again face another new year. But then something really unexpected happened. And happened to Zechariah that day in the temple. It seems, doesn't it, that even in the light of such an astounding event, old Zechariah still has trouble expecting much. What he was seeing and hearing and experiencing was incredible. But reality is that he and Elizabeth are really old. And how could this happen? Yet the angel Gabriel spoke of the son that old Zechariah and Elizabeth would have and about how he would go before the Lord preparing the people. Powerful prophecy about the role that John the Baptist would play. But Zechariah knows, he knows how old he is and she is. And he, like us, knows how things work. And he knows when realism tells you not to expect anything. Silent Zechariah goes home to Liz, and then it happens. Elizabeth is really, literally expecting a baby. Listen now to the sound of new expectations. Verse 24. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days He has shown His favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And then dropping down to verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. And all the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. And everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was upon him." God has spoken, and it's obvious that God has been at work, and that God is at work. And the old couple now has a baby. And they also have new realizations of what can be expected in life when God is in the mix. When God is at work. Even in the face of impossibilities, what can be expected. And the new first-time papa, the old priest Zechariah, expresses great and growing expectations. He has seen God at work, and now filled with the Holy Spirit, Zechariah prophesies. Verse 67, his father Zechariah filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit and he prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abram, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days." Verse 76, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's now proclaiming the Word of God. And it is a word full of great promise, great reason for people to have great expectations. God has come to His people. After all of the waiting, after centuries of speculation and longing, God has come for His people. What does that mean for us this Christmas? That God has come to this planet, to this realm, to our existence. God has redeemed His people, he says. God has come to deliver His people who have struggled under the oppression of enemies. There's a new and a marvelous expectation of deliverance and victory and freedom. Any chains out here today? Any of you have chains or bondage or heaviness that you feel deliverance would, freedom would be really nice? Zechariah is enthralled with this notion of God's redemption and deliverance, and he speaks of salvation from the enemies. He has raised up a horn of salvation. In Peterson's The Message, it's rendered this way. He came and set His people free. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives. Zechariah's expectations are greatly heightened. And he's speaking God's word for the people of his day and for generations since, and for you, and for me, and for those around us today. God, through old Zechariah, is saying that God is at work. Baby John is born, and he will pave the way for Jesus the Messiah, Savior of the world. And now we anticipate and we can experience salvation and deliverance from our sins, from powers that bind us, and welcome into the family of God. We can expect not only deliverance from certain things, but deliverance to a place of serving God, serving, being associated with, of serving the Almighty without fear. We're going to speak more about fear and deliverance from fear next week. Maybe between now and then, maybe even starting right now, you could think about what is it that you really fear. Maybe no one else knows about it, but you know what it is that you fear. What would it mean for you to be set free from that fear? Because of Jesus, and because of the prophecy of old Zach here about what Jesus was going to do, we can expect to be free, and it says we can expect to be free to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. One of the things I fear too often is that I don't measure up in who I am or in what I do. Too often feeling that I should be more like somebody else. Wouldn't it be great to have that fear wiped away and to be able to just be me? And for you, to just be you. And not wrestle with or fear that somehow you should be somebody else. What would it be to be free? Free to just serve Him before Him, holy and righteous, in freedom. Just as I am. What would that be like for me, for you? Just what do you think that might mean for you to serve Almighty, eternal God without fear? Well, this season, as we once again hear the proclamation of the message, the story of Jesus, of God coming near to us, we can expect some wonderful things. Things that God is enabling by His great salvation, which is for us and which is among us. God has come working His salvation among His people. He brings freedom from fear. He brings a desire and an ability to serve Him. And He sheds light and love on those who live in darkness under the shadow of death. Maybe we could just think about this and pray about this. Maybe we might be able to be set free, and in our own way, and in our new expectations, maybe we might be able, maybe you and I, in our own way, might be able to help shed and spread some light to the many around us who are struggling and stumbling and hurting in the shadows and in the darkness. We've prayed together this morning already about some of those people, and we know others. And maybe we can expect to have new freedom to let the light of Jesus flow and shine through us. Listen. And be expecting. Are you expecting? Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You, how we thank You, thank You, thank You today and for all eternity. We thank You for loving us and for coming here that we might know You, that we might know the Father, that we might be part of the forever family of God.
And then to think that you work your salvation among us in such ways that we might even be instrumental to share good news with others. And so we pray that as we enter this season, where we will hear the story and think about and sing about the reality of Jesus once again, we pray that you might fill us with great godly expectation. And we pray it in Jesus' holy, strong name. Amen.